We are joined right now by an NFL Network insider. He is a SiriusXM NFL radio host. He is Tom Pelissero. Tom, great to have you back. How are you?
Fantastic, Jim. How are you doing?
Really good, Tom. Good to visit with you. Thanks so much. You've been covering the NFL annual meeting in Arizona. Let me ask you a couple of things. How would you interpret the sequence of events Monday when Lamar Jackson tweeted he had asked the Ravens for a trade back on March 2nd, just as his head coach, John Harbaugh, was telling everybody how much he loved Lamar and expected to have him back this season? What do you make of that whole sequence?
Well, first of all, Jim, the timing is no coincidence there. It was absolutely timed up so that John Harbaugh would have to answer uncomfortable questions about Lamar Jackson for that entire 30-minute breakfast. Having said that, the fact that the trade request was made on March 2nd, before Lamar Jackson was even franchise tagged, and in addition, the fact that he does not need to be traded right now, make it just another unusual, strange development. I mean, think about this. In order to execute a trade, Lamar would need to agree to a new contract with a different team. He already has the right to negotiate with the other 31 teams. The trade request part of it is symbolic at most. It does not really change anything other than, obviously, making clear that right now Lamar Jackson is frustrated by the state of negotiations. It also is at a time where Lamar Jackson continues to engage with the Ravens. You know, his initial tweet said that the Ravens have not been willing to meet his value. Well, here's your chance to go find your value on the open market, negotiate with the other 31 teams, and it's just complicated, Jim, when you're talking about not just giving up a potentially fully or mostly fully guaranteed contract, but also one at a number that's probably close to $50 million a year. It's over 20% of your salary cap. You got to give up two first-round picks for a player whose mobility has always been his greatest asset, that is, by definition, a depreciating asset. He suffered consecutive season-ending injuries, and he's a player who you're going to have to overhaul your entire scheme and personnel to play with him. But I'm not saying that no one should do it. He's a former NFL MVP. There's absolutely reason to consider it, but this is not Madden. This is not fantasy. This is real life where you're committing resources and building a team. And Ron Rivera laid it out pretty well the other day, just saying, would you invest that much in one player? It does impact everything else you're trying to do.
Tom Pelissero joining us. You know, that answered my very next question. How is it that we're talking about a guy in his prime who's a former unanimous MVP, not even getting an offer sheet? You actually just did answer that question by laying that out the way you just did. Let me ask you this. If he doesn't get an offer sheet and he's got to play the next year under that franchise tag, is there any way he would sit out and not play?
I think anything's possible, Jim. I think that if there's one thing we know about Lamar and how he approaches this entire situation is that the normal course of business in the NFL is in no way a guide for his decision-making. Listen, if he had an agent, which he does not a certified agent, that agent would have pushed 2 years ago for him to get a new contract. It would have been the same playbook that you saw last year with Kyler Murray. And Kyler Murray was not a former NFL MVP. Kyler Murray had not won a playoff game like Lamar Jackson had. No agent would have allowed Lamar Jackson to set foot on the field 2 years ago for $1.7 million. But he showed up, played the whole season. Last year, same thing. Showed up and played the entire season for $23 million. Now the franchise tag is worth over $32 million. Logic would say, well, if he played for $1.7 and he played for $23, why would he not show up and play for $32? But it's pretty obvious in reading the tweets, which he continued to send late last night, that there's more to this than the simple numbers. And I think that an agent at this point also would be explaining to Lamar, would have done it 2 years ago, that as much as the fully guaranteed contract matters to the Players Association, as much as there is, in Lamar's mind, a respect factor to that, because Deshaun Watson just got $46 million per year on a five-year, $230 million fully guaranteed deal, despite serious allegations of sexual misconduct and everything else that was going on, Lamar could say, I'm better than him. I'm more accomplished than him. And he's right. But Deshaun Watson had a unique amount of leverage in that particular situation, and the only way Cleveland was going to get him was to fully guarantee that contract. For Lamar, it's not, you know, in general, at the quarterback position, it's not about the guarantees. It's about cash flow. It's about how much money can you get right now? Because guess what? Quarterbacks don't get cut. Quarterbacks generally play out their deals. And quarterbacks, when you have a year or two left, get to a new contract. So rather than signing a deal 2 years ago when he easily could have pushed and he did have some leverage of, I'm not showing up for $1.7 million, he chose to play. And that sets him behind. He's already lost tens of millions of dollars. already, just in terms of the contract. Now he's out here. If he starts giving up $2 million per game to sit out, that would seem to be inconsistent with his prior decision. But again, this is not something that's being driven by the way that agents and teams and players generally think about these things. Anything is possible right now for Lamar Jackson. And, you know, John Harbaugh continues to say that he believes Lamar ultimately will be the starting quarterback. It's just there's not really a clear path to exactly how that's going to happen at this point.
Tom Pelissero expertly breaking this all down. Tom, before you go, what about the Jets and Packers? Aaron Rodgers obviously is on record. He said it publicly, I am going to play for the Jets, but he did say that 2 weeks ago. Now, I understand that today there may not be a sense of urgency from either side, but where do things stand in talks between the Jets and Packers, and at what point does it get urgent?
Brian Gutekunst and Joe Douglas did sit down here at the NFL annual meeting. They continue to have the conversation. They've been negotiating for weeks, for over a month, even before Aaron Rodgers met with the Jets. They wanted, ideally, in a perfect world, the Packers would have had the compensation. And for the Jets, they would have had the compensation worked out prior to that conversation. But because of the timeline, because you were already in early March, they had to get the ball rolling. They couldn't sit there and negotiate and say Aaron couldn't even talk to them to make his ultimate decision of what he wanted to do. So at this point, the Packers are not looking for the type of trade package that we've seen in recent quarterback deals of two first-round picks and more. Brian Gutekunst said the other day that even getting one first-rounder is not necessarily a necessity, but there's different ways, Jim, that you can get to that same value. It can be a combination of picks that really add up to a first-rounder and more. That's the target right now for the Packers. From everything that I've been told, they're not far. They're not on completely different pages, but they're not close yet. And the real pressure point is going to be the week of the NFL draft. Because at that point, if the Packers don't take the Jets' best offer, or if the Jets don't come up and meet what the Packers are asking for, now you're talking about going from 2023 and 2024 draft picks to 2024 and 25 draft picks. By the way that most GMs define that, you're downgrading those picks by kicking them back for a year. So if it gets beyond the draft, then we go to crazy town, because then it's just about, I'm going to mess up your season. No, I'm going to mess up your season. And we can go through this stare down as long as you want. The Packers can go all the way till the day before the regular season opener before they'd have to pull the trigger on Rodgers' option bonus. And he's only counting like $32 million on their cap. That's not ideal, because you'd like to be spending those resources someplace else. But it's not prohibitive for them to wait this thing out. And that's what both sides are saying at this moment. Let's see, though, when we get to that pressure point of the week of the NFL draft, and think it's done.
Tom Pelissero, my guest. One last thought, Tom. What about, I thought it was kind of curious to see Odell Beckham make an appearance yesterday. I mean, I know he's training in-state, but how unusual is it for a free agent to show up at those meetings, and what was his agenda?
It's pretty rare, Jim. I can only think of one or two other times that that's ever happened. Now, it happened that, you know, Odell trains out in Arizona. His agent, Zeke Sandu, is based out there. So he was around, and, you know, he hadn't been able to get face-to-face with teams since back in December. Now, what I would anticipate here is that Odell will take one or more visits before making a decision, because you don't exactly have the equipment and resources to do a physical at the Arizona Biltmore Hotel. So they'll bring him in, you know, whether it's the Jets, whether it's the Ravens, whether it's somebody else, I imagine, because the knee was the issue last year. You know, it was a re-tear of the ACL that he had in the Super Bowl back 13 months ago. He was not quite ready in his mind to even work out for clubs. He did finally do that a few weeks ago, and, you know, that created some kind of buzz. Just, you know, you see, it's still Odell. You know, maybe he doesn't have that, you know, the flamethrower speed he once did, but he's still a really good receiver. He's not going to come on the cheap. He's tweeted that much. He's also not asking for $20 million plus, which had been rumored out there. So let's see when this lines up. I mean, think about those teams we're talking about, Jim. The Packers, we think they're getting Aaron Rodgers. They probably are. It's probably a 90%+ chance, but he's not actually done. The Ravens, we don't know who their quarterback is. And if you're Odell, you don't want to go into an uncertain type of a situation where maybe you're on a one-year contract, you're trying to reestablish yourself, show you're healthy, and all of a sudden, no offense to Snoop Huntley, but if you have a second, third-string quarterback throwing you the football, that's probably not the best way to establish your earning power and try to get one more big bite at the apple.
He is an NFL Network insider, a SiriusXM NFL radio host, and all over all these topics. Tom Pelissero, my guest. Tom, really appreciate it. Thanks for coming back on. That was great, as always.
Always a pleasure, Jim. Thanks.
You too, Tom. Thanks so much. Pro's pro right there. I want to remind you, and you can react to any of that, I want to remind you that it's a Wednesday, so that's an Ask the Pros Day.